everyone listening to Round Guys Radio Network. Real quick, why don't you sign up for our newsletter? Whenever we have a new episode, we have a newsletter release. The only time we push one out, go over to roundguysbrewery.com/RGR. Thank you for listening.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the Original Slacker Podcast. Today, I have Tom Kehoe, one of the founders of Yards Brewery, founded back in 1994. Yards is probably one of the most notable Philadelphia breweries, even Pennsylvania breweries, and I'm really excited to have him down here. I also have founder Scott Rudich of Round Guys Brewing Company sitting here with me. We had a fun chat. We chatted about, you know, where the industry's going, chatted about distribution. We also chatted about some of the nuances within a brew pub experience itself. So sit back and enjoy the show. You gave me the thumbs up when I came
up. We don't
have
our headphones on.
You guys have been recording the whole time. So just
That's good. I'm, you know, trashing people. Yeah. Telling Jim Cook how great he is.
Yeah. Don't worry. On the record.
Yeah, that's right.
Welcome to another episode of the Original Slacker Podcast. Today I have Yards founder Tom Kehoe. Hey, Tom. How's life, man?
Life is great.
Life is great.
Just built a new brewery. Absolutely loving what we're doing.
It's a beautiful beer.
It's a great place where beer's made.
So you did a Bud Light ad. And how was it? Where was that filmed first?
It was actually filmed at Kavanaugh's at 39.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
It actually kind of gave
different
that.
Bars.
Yeah.
And they were filming.
It looked like Kavanaugh's.
I got to go to this one. Yeah. Yeah.
So how long did that take?
That was probably at least an hour and a half, 2 hours there. Yeah. And it's funny, I started off with three of my friends, and we're all been in, and they go, could you guys leave? And we just want to talk to this guy. And it was really funny because I had actually done a lot of acting in college and things, and it was one of those things where I kind of knew exactly what they wanted. It was pretty cool.
You were surviving for a while doing commercials, right?
I was. It was great. I actually did a Pennsylvania Lottery commercial that ran for like 3 years, and I got residuals every quarter. I was like, this is great. Pay my rent.
I was looking for that. I was looking for that ad. I couldn't find it anywhere.
Oh, I have it all on VHS, and I just got to get it digital. Okay, send it away to one of those companies or something like that. There's a couple other ones, because I actually did a lot of commercials back then, like the U.S. Healthcare and a few others, so they were good commercials.
Acting career, Tom Kehoe.
Exactly.
Who would have thought? Yeah, and where's it going now? You're not doing any more acting?
No. You know, they get me to do bit stuff for our social media. I don't know if my SAG card covers that, but I'm not getting paid, so I guess it does cover it.
Have things changed at Citizens Bank? Because I know last year when I went, fair amount of places. I always look for Brawler, but Brawler is always... is now up in the it's up in the Himalayas.
It's in Harry Kay's. Yeah. It's all different places.
You have to walk all the way up, you know, steps, and once you get done your journey, two innings later, you get to have your beer.
There's been a lot of changes at the ballpark, and to be candid with everything, Brawler was our most drafts were Brawler at one time because of, I guess, deals that were in there where the only pale ale that you could find pretty much, except you would find Philly Pale there, was Goose Pale.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But that's all you see now.
Right. Well, not anymore, because now AB has pulled out of the stadiums as far as major sponsoring. Yuengling has taken over, I guess, the stadium as one of their most major beer sponsors. So Yuengling has a different, you know, they're actually in a lot more places, availability of where to find them. And, you know, our pale ale is now more available. And we also just got cans. So with Brawler and Philly Paler and cans there.
The ballpark's always interesting. The Reading Phils hit me up. And great organization, great setup. But after we got done, I'm like, I can't give you guys that kind of money for what's going to amount to 8 kegs of beer for the entire year. It's just not – I'd love to do it. I'd love to be in a spot to hand over a check with that many zeros. But Reading's not our core market. So.
One of our best field accounts was the River Sharks. Mm-hmm. We had like we were the craft beer there. It was great, you know. Right. You know, you could see the old brewery right from across the river. It was pretty cool. Well, I got an announcement for this year. We're coming out with Philly Pale in 19.2s, which is going to be awesome. So.
Yeah, we just we have a new canning line. It's actually the tech's coming tomorrow to. I tried to play with it, and they said no. Let us come in and do all the final adjustments. But that was one of the things I asked for was 19.2s. Yeah. Not that we're going to do a lot of it, but just you know, for events and different things like that.
It's a stadium and a singles buy.
Yeah.
So it's
and that's what we got. We got weird places like Big Heads. We're like, if you can put your Russian Imperial Stout in 19.2s, he's like, we'll sell a bunch of them. Like, are you kidding me? He's like this little place in Richboro is like, yeah, we'll take as many 19.2s as you can get. I'm like, all right. And he said, what happens is the guys that come in, they grab a 12-pack of Bud Light, and then right above it, they have the 19.2s, and they'll grab one or two 19.2s and say, let me try it, and that's it. And he's like, we move tons of them. So it's
which segment do you see growth in for the future 2019-2020? And craft beer in Philadelphia is very crowded now. Yeah. And in addition to that, you see a lot more outlets. Where's the growth? Is it really coming from packaging? Is it coming from, I mean, in-house sales for you guys have to be through the roof. You guys have a great facility. It's a destination in Philly. When people come to Philly now, Yards is on the map. It's a target destination.
Yeah, and we present the brewery as like visit the brewery because that's what we're showing off. We're showing off the brewery. You know, it's great. You can get something to eat and a couple beers there and try a bunch of different things. But we're really promoting, you know, this is what a brewery does. This is what you know look for in a brewery. You know, we're kind of like the lead dog for most of these little breweries that are everywhere. It's like, yep, I can see how that little brewery's like Yards. You know, they got their fermenters here. They got their brew house. Granted, Yards is bigger, but it's sort of like this is how you brew. This is why we're doing things. And you can see all the packaging and everything going around. It's a lot of fun. I think it's something that we aspire to, you know, teach people. We were of that age where when we were small, we were just like, you know, this is what makes beer different. This is what makes craft beer better. This is what makes it have more flavor. And we were always educating, and we're still doing that as far as just getting people to come to the brewery.
Right.
So. Yeah, I mean, I think similarly with our, you know, we're starting year 8 in Lansdale. We're still kind of that hub in this area for all the other new breweries that have popped up. You know, we're the one place you can come and sit down, have something to eat, you know, and a lot of the other places, they have tables and stuff like that, but we're also the most diverse portfolio of any of the other breweries locally and around us. And I mean, for us, our packaging is a bit more of a growth opportunity for us just because we haven't been on shelves. And for us, the differentiator with all these new breweries is we can get on shelves. What I'm finding is the small little bottle shops, the ones that are always like the go-to place to buy beer. All they are is IPA and six-pack, IPA and macro shops now. I can't find anything. I went to go look for an English-style IPA, like a good old-fashioned old, you know, lots of hops, lots of English hops for a tasting I was doing, and couldn't find any. They weren't on the shelves. And I even had a hard time finding a West Coast IPA. It was all haze and brute. Obviously, East Coast IPAs because of our location. I just see it getting more and more crowded, and the on-premise is where I see the growth being. And for us, we're doing a lot more private label, a lot more helping the bars to differentiate themselves because the big bars the beer bars are competing now with the breweries, and that's been our area of growth, so to speak.
Tom, in your time frame, the market has changed like 6 times.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's amazing, and a lot of credit goes back to Yards for being able to weather the storms and be adapting and see the changes and see where to really plug the beer. When it comes to the bottle shops, you feel that the bottle shops are getting, now they feel the pressure from, say, Acme and Whole Foods and Wegmans, and they have to adapt and push for specific sales because now people are really just looking, maybe they need that, they need the more standardized beer. Just to compete.
Well, I mean, I'd be interested in Tom's opinion, but for instance, in my case, in and around Doylestown is usually where I'm looking for stuff, and there have been some other bottle shops where you typically go, but now that distributors can do individual sales and six packs, they really have the variety. So that's a place where you're going in, you're getting a chance to get a much broader portfolio, although some of the ones in the suburbs are still 80% double IPAs, New England style IPAs, and those sorts of things. But before, when you go to a distributor, you bought a case of something and you went to a bottle shop to get variety, that's where I kind of see the it's shifted. We can now go to a distributor where before I didn't have much space to get round guys on the shelf at a distributor because I can never supply it in the quantities and the case quantities and all that. But now they always have room for a couple 4-packs, and if it sells, we can continue to grow that. So the bottle shops now, unless you're really specialized like Capone or even like Iron Abbey, once they brought wine in, they shrunk their space by at least a third to maybe 2/3 to put wine up there. So it's just allowed us to get a better, tighter experience with the distributors who I think are taking care of our beer better, and they've got a little bit more of an opportunity to showcase the beer because they're, you know, you go to a place like Candlewick and it's huge, but they don't have nearly the square footage to showcase all the beer like a B&B beverage up in Doylestown.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. We saw what was happening with the bottle shops and see all the confusion happening. And one of the things when we moved into the new brewery was we're going to do a brand refresh. And, you know, it's our second one. We did it when we moved into Delaware Avenue, and now we did it here. And part of it was we knew we were going to do cans. We want to make sure the cans look like the bottles to get synergy and everything. And all we're saying, it's like, no confusion. Let everybody know what you're buying. Keep everything simple. You know, a lot of these labels have like Chinese writing on it and everything else, and you don't even know what you're buying. People are like, I got to try this, you know, because the name or whatever it is, or it's a triple IPA or whatever you want to do. I mean, are they out yet, the triples? I don't know. But
triple. You know what? Actually, well, you mentioned something. You can actually see my face start to turn red and my blood pressure rise when someone goes, oh, dude, this artwork is so awesome. I love this beer. It has nothing to do with liquid.
Right.
It has to do with whatever. And for me, that drives. I'm not a lipstick and eyeliner guy. Right. I don't care what the font is. I don't care what color selection.
See the conversations we have all the time.
I just want great beer in a can.
Well,
that's it,
I mean, we went through that. We have like we're in the whole same font family. You know, we did a bunch of stuff. Really, you know, got into the design. But the thing I love, it's like seeing somebody with a brawler can across the room. You know, they're drinking a brawler. Yeah. It's nice, bright orange, and you know, it's like yep.
It's,
you know,
it's a great can. I love that. I love everything about that beer.
It's fun.
Can.
Yeah.
And Scott will know that.
And I think you see that in the bottle shop.
Right.
You see, yep. Oh, yeah, there's Brawler.
Philly Pale,
IPA, you know, orange
yellow, red.
Yeah, you know, right there. You know, you can't miss it.
Yeah, I've always thought that Yards is the quality beer, Philly. And by that, I mean, if you see everything out there and there's something you may not know or you may not necessarily want to challenge yourself on, you know Yards is going to be good.
That's how I think we're going to weather the storm. It's like the beer that you trust.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I know I'm going to open a Philly Pale. It's going to have a great, you know, grapefruit nose. It's going to be easy to drink and just so much fun.
When I go into Wilby's bar, I look at a list, and oftentimes, you know, he's got some funky beers on there that I just don't want to enjoy. And I'm not knocking those beers. I just kind of want something simple, and that's, you know, always going Yards.
Yeah.
Do you see any changes in new and upcoming bar owners or in a scene in town?
You know, it everything from, you know, when we got in, it was that dash to add tap handles. Because a lot of bars still just had 4 tap handles. You know, They didn't really, you know, think about it. And then they started adding. I mean, we were there, for the opening party when London added to, like, you know, 14 tap handles. And it was like a big deal. It's like, wow, now they're going to be able to serve everything, you know. And we were even laughing because yesterday we did a Flagship Friday thing at Memphis Tap Room, and me and Carol Stout were there, and it was a lot of people showed up. Dave Wilby was there, Kurt Decker from Second District, and, you know, a bunch of people were all there. And we were just talking about, yeah, remember when Guinness, Bass, and Harp were on every tap, and you could never touch those, you know, but you had to go for the other taps, and that was, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah. True. I don't even know a place that has all 4 of those on tap.
No, they don't anymore, which is, you know, and because the wholesalers are like, I could sell more craft beer than I could sell Harp and Bass.
Right.
So, I mean, Guinness still stays on because it's got that following. You know, it's got a whole country behind them.
Well, and a whole bunch of Irish Americans in the
Philadelphia
area.
Yeah, so.
Do you see Yards holding on strong with the local movement? That it's an opportunity for you guys to grow, expand, or present more tap handles and more space for you guys?
I think that we, you know, are going to be always part of that local movement. I think, you know, that we have that beer that people trust. I think we have, you know, we had a brand that actually grew last year, and that was Philly Pale Ale, you know, which is, you know, our flagship. And, you know, we pushed it, but at the same time, you know, the other brands were middling, you know, some were down, some were not moved. And some have been flat for 5 years.
I can still get ESA at the brewery, right?
You can still get ESA at the brewery. You can get it on cask, get it on nitro, and then just regular draft.
Perfect.
Which is your favorite way to drink it?
I'm between cask and nitro. Had a cask yesterday at the flagship event, and it was beautiful.
Yeah, I know. You're one of the few brewers that I know that actually. People say, "What's your favorite beer?" And you'll say, "Yards ESA." Or most of the time, like, "What's your favorite beer?" And I'm like, "I like all of, like it's." I know you're very very adamant about
that.
And
we got a lot of people at the brewery, like our, you know, our employees that like ESA. It's like, yeah, this is what I drink. And I wonder if you go to a lot of breweries and ask them what they're drinking. You go to like place like my Kolsch. I drink the Kolsch. I drink, you know, they're not drinking the double IPAs. I mean, they're working. They got other things to do. But they love beer, and they're going to have a beer, and they don't want to be, influenced by the beer not to go back to work.
Right. Our lead brewer just he hates brewing double IPAs because basically he says like there's absolutely no magic in this.
No, you can't make a mistake.
He's like it's just, we're just throwing a bunch of hops in, and all we're changing is the type of hops and like one grist element. He's like, and everything that's magic. And he's like, I hate doing this, but he likes doing the. He actually, we had to have a chat about how much quad and Russian Imperial Stout he was drinking about 3 years ago. we realized there was 121 pints missing over a month, and said, you know, that's we got to kind of fix that. So
yeah, go big or go home, right?
Yeah.
Making a double IPA. What was the pH of the water? Who cares?
Yeah,
it's going to be fine. But you're doing a stout, you better make sure it's right.
You guys have how is Philly Water to brew? Is it something you guys are doing a lot of work with, or
we basically, you know, we carbon filter, you know, filter for particulates, and of course hit it with a UV light.
Okay.
We will, you know, do some calcium carbonate, get the pH exactly where we want. It tends to be a little above 7 for the most part. They're trying to save their pipes.
Yeah.
Which is nothing wrong with that, but you know, we just got to make sure we can get that out and get out the chlorite that they put in. That's why it goes through the carbon filters.
You see a lot of fluctuation in the wintertime?
More in the summer because they're adding more to keep things from growing. Mm-hmm. So winter, I think, is the better water.
Do you think customers actually want variety? We've been talking about IPAs and double IPAs.
You know, do they want variety, or they just want to make sure that they have a good knowledge of what's out there? I think people want to drink beer that they know and like. And, you know, that's why, you know, we're betting on core beers for, you know, for these next couple of years. But I think everybody wants to try something that is like, wow, this is really neat. But and then you'll see if something really comes to you know, that'll become like a regular beer. That'll become like somebody's flagship, or that'll become somebody's, you know, mainstay kind of beer for a brewery. So
the six breweries that all opened at the same time in 2012, us, Free Will, Neshaminy Creek, Tired Hands, Forest of Maine, and then Naked Brewing Company, we all saw a rapid uptick of our beers, and then the wholesalers brought in a whole new slew of other breweries,
right.
And all of a sudden there wasn't any... there wasn't as much interest. So I think what happened when that second wave of breweries came in, and when I say second wave, there was, when we started, there were only 1,400 approved brewer's notices for the TTB when we got our license. Okay. And now it's, what, almost 7,000 or something like that. Yeah. So I think a lot of the culture of what's new was perpetuated by the brewers that came around when I was there to try to combat, because when we came in the market, it was hard to combat things like Sierra Nevada flagship, like, you know, Sierra Nevada pale ale, or those sorts of things. Because if you're coming in with your pale ale, you know, like Tom said, trust. You know, the bartender is going to trust Sierra Nevada pale is going to be the same as opposed to a new local brewery. So I think that's a large part of the variety kick, and the new beers every 2 weeks is fostered by the group of breweries that came when we started and then afterward. But now there's a reversion to flagship. Now that we're reverting back to flagship beers. Like, we were brewing eight double IPAs, but now we really only have one that, that really does much sales. So now that we've figured out what people want to buy and what they've attached their identity to with Round Guys, now we're brewing those all the time. That's a Kiss Off Transmission.
Liquid Swords.
And Liquid Swords, yeah.
Yeah, and I think there's also a different consumer behavior, right? When you look at the brewery, I'm sure you guys see this, and I know we see it here, in in-house sales when it comes to package sales. People are buying, I think, more diverse options here than you would out. Part of that is because the IPAs are so dominant out there. But also, when you come into a brewery, no matter what, you part of it is tasting that portfolio. Part of it is tasting things that you don't usually drink. And then I question what you actually do with the beer when you go home. Are you doing it? Are you drinking a beer after work? Are you drinking a beer during a football game? Are you drinking a beer, you know, maybe once a week, maybe drinking all four of those beers within one night? What's the consumer doing with that? And maybe is when you come into a brewery, you have, you're a little more respectful, I guess, of the actual drink, and you might be a little less, and this is not a knock or trying to say anything different, but if IPA, Scott, as you mentioned before in one of your articles, is kind of like the new light beer, if it is taken over in a way that it looks like a macro, do you think the consumer behaves differently at a, say, a Wegmans than they would at Yards?
Absolutely. Yeah. And even think about your own personal way you go out and buy beer. I'm going out shopping for a couple six-packs. That $9.99 six-pack and that $12.99 six-pack makes a difference in what you're buying. But if you're out at a bar, beer bar, brewery, doesn't matter what beer. Right. You're just going to, you know, whatever it costs. They're all about the same anyhow.
Yeah. And and just to add what Bill had said for you, Tom, and for listeners out there, Dominic Capisi from Free Will said this about 4 years ago, that IPA is the new macro. And what I, you know, I try to tell our staff is that people say, I drink Bud Light, Miller Light, Coors Light, and IPAs. Like, that's the new kind of, like, terminology out there. But, like, me going into wine, I know nothing about wine. I know there's certain grape varieties, but I was out shopping, and I only had a limited amount of money I wanted to spend on wine, so I bought a $12.99 bottle of Ravenwood because I know I've had that variety in that brand before. If I had $40 to spend, I might have gone and get something that's, you know, that's much that's newer to me that I didn't really care, but my budget was limited. Same thing with bourbon. When I go and buy bourbon, it's, you know, if I got $25 in my pocket, I'm finding a $25 bottle of bourbon. If it's a special occasion, I'm like, oh, I'll try the, you know, $60 bottle of bourbon. But they go down the same amount of time.
Yeah, exactly. And one thing, don't discount, because there is a trend out there for the healthier option, which is, I want to work like the Michelob, what Michelob Ultra is to all those. There's those craft beer options that are the same thing. Sequench. There's another one Dogfish is doing. I forgot the name, but it's, you know, it's a really low, it's low, it's like 96 calories, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, low carb, that, you know, that's why we're having a little resurgence here in these Alka-Seltzers, the seltzer flavored alcohol drinks, and, you know, people actually going and trying some of the craft distilleries because, you know, they know, hey, low carbs. I can have my little whiskey from Pennsylvania, and it's a different way of going out there and, you know, having that drink during the week.
We've been playing around a little bit with trying to do a low carb IPA. Haven't gotten there yet, but, you know, playing with the enzymes and that kind of stuff. And then we can thank the PLCB for not allowing us to make the alcoholic seltzers because they they made the powdered alcohol illegal. But that's what they're doing. They're basically taking water, adding powdered alcohol flavor, and they're carbonating it. So it's
tasty.
Yeah, tasty.
It's hard to make beer that sucks.
It really is.
If you got a conscience, it is.
real quick, I don't know. Do you remember? You remember when we first met? Do you remember the event?
Humeville.
The Humeville Inn.
Clone Yards beer. Was it the Karma Factor or something?
Karma
like
Competition
that?
Karma or competition? Something. Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
You know, good karma brewing a beer. You know, I guess, you know, making a beer to emulate a Yards beer.
Yeah, that was and the one thing I remember is Stephen Hawk was trying to set up a one barrel brew house up
in
the Humeville.
Back, yeah.
I remember you going in there going, huh, all this stuff and not one calibratable thermometer. And so when I bought our first thermometers for Round Guys, I made sure, I'm like, make sure we have a digital thermometer that has a calibration and get me a lab thermometer so I can check these things every week. It was like one thing that stuck in my head is that, you know, if you're gonna spend $8 on a thermometer, make sure that it works right and make sure you can, you know, keep it working right. So
little things open your eyes when you make mistakes like that early on.
Well, yeah.
So you go like, rule one.
Well, very instructive without even meaning to be from the get-go, from the first time meeting
that's,
you. So
that's great. Yeah.
Tom, thank you so much for coming on the Original Slacker. Really appreciate it. Is there any information you'd like to share about yards before we end the segment?
Yeah, Yards is located in 5th and Spring Garden, right in the middle of Philadelphia near the historic area. So please stop by and have a beer with me.
You know what I did this summer, this past summer? It's a great location. It really is. And here's why. And the Delaware Ave location is good. It was great when I used to go vertical a lot because it just go right into Yards. It's right there. But one of the things that is always sketchy is Delaware Ave. And if you're on a bike, Delaware Ave is kind of like the no-go zone. So one of the things I did this year was I went down to Old City, went out to actually Queen Village, got one of those little blue bikes, and took a friend, and we went across to Jersey, and then we came back, and then we went biked over to Yards, very accessible, very easy to get to.
Yeah.
And it was amazing, like, how great a ride it was. And you get back there, and you guys have plenty of space. You know, you can set anything up outside, really accessible for anyone of any type of person, you know, getting there. It's always parking in the front. So kudos on Yards and good luck, and look forward to seeing more beer out there.
I love the outdoor space where you can, you know, hang out under the fermenters.
Yeah, yeah. And it was funny. I remember the exact day. I think it was at a CBC, and we were already working with the with Zeman for the fermenters, and I brought like a mock-up from our architect about people being underneath, and I go, can we do this? And they're like, yeah, absolutely. I was like, awesome. I sent it back, and they're just like, why would you want to? It's like
an experience. It's yeah. And don't you have like some sort of covering or something like that, or some sort of like catch basin in case there's any like
condensation?
Yeah, condensation.
Yeah, because that cone right there is just so we basically have just a little pan there, and you know, you'll hardly even notice it because the tank just overwhelms it anyhow.
Yeah,
so.
That's awesome.
What was it like trying to build that place? 15 years. Wow. You're committed to 15 years, right?
Yeah.
Now, your fifth incarnation of Yards. 15 years. That's a pretty big commitment.
Yeah.
In a market that has shown itself to change on maybe every 3 years, two-year cycle. What was just go big or go home? What was the philosophy behind it?
That was kind of it. You know, if you're not growing, you're going the other way.
Right.
If you're not really, you know, innovating and doing things and investing into your company, you're really going the other way. I mean, it's like, you know, we found a location that we felt is going to be part of that neighborhood, part of everything. The great thing is, as we were doing this, they changed the zoning. So we weren't zoned. We had to go for zoning. But they changed it into a way where they're going to build the neighborhood up around us. Right. So people are going to be living, you know, next to Yards, you know, for next, you know, probably 10 years are going to be building there. So it's going to be a great, I think it was just like forward thinking, looking what happened on Delaware Avenue with all the growth around us there and how much that was part of like, you know, yeah, that's my brewery right down there, you know? So we want that to be, that's my brewery right across the street. That's my brewery two blocks away.
I used to stay here fascinated by the turntable. That was a fun little chat with Tom Keogh. As a reminder, the Original Slacker podcast is presented by Round Guys Brewing Company. Learn about all things Round Guys through roundguysbrewery.com. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or any other place where you can find great podcasts. We work hard to put this great content together for you, and Tom's always wanted to reach out to the community, but you know, he's got good stories, and it's also fun to really dive in to some of the lesser-known parts of the beer world, the ones that aren't told too much. For instance, did you know that his uncle Bill was a carny, and that's how he described him at one point. So we had some fun. We had some fun on this podcast. I have Patty, one of my favorite people in the world. She's been doing events for us almost since the very beginning.
She's been
included in this organization. She's always the face of the organization out at external events. Patty, how are you doing?
I'm doing very, very well. I have a beer sitting in front of me, so I'm doing great.
What are you drinking? Patty, why are you drinking at 11:10 a.m. on the sun? There are rules against that, Patty.
Shush, don't tell.
We have Transmission IPA, right?
Transmission IPA.
What is this beer? Tell me something about this beer.
It's an IPA, so it's an India Pale Ale. And it's got a really nice amount of pininess to it for me. Bill and I tend to taste things differently when we taste beers together, when I learn from him and so forth. But that's part of the beauty of why we all like different styles of beer, and thank goodness for different styles of beer. But yeah, it's nice amount of a little bit of pininess to it for me. Like rounded of bitterness to it back around the back of my tongue, which is good. And just a bit of citrus, but not like a crazy sweet citrus, just a nice.
Yeah, I taste a lot of, my favorite part is the hops in here. We, as I've mentioned before in some other podcasts, we don't really push the bitterness in our IPAs as much as the flavor from the hops. And there's like a nice stone fruit berry type hop in here that really pulls through to the end. I love Transmission. This is one of my go-to beers. I've mentioned this a number of times on podcasts and probably certain members who listen about the shower beer. This is my shower beer, and I love this beer probably more than anything we've ever done. Scott and Mark, excellent. I should say, have done a great job producing this beer, and really kudos to those guys. So if you guys are interested in learning more, again, just go to roundguysbrewery.com. Three locations, Glenside, the Glenside Ale House. We have the Underground where this is being recorded. Ton of great shows, great musical acts. We got drag shows, get everything down here. And then finally, the original location, the Lansdale Brew Pub location, right across the street from the original Slacker, right across the street from the Underground. And yeah, stop on by. Look forward to seeing you guys. Thank you.
I can feel you on my heels. I am walking through a field, and I can feel you on my heels.